Welcome to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, emanating from New Home Family Worship Center of New Orleans and Houston. Now, be prepared to be blessed as we hear a special word from Pastor Blakes.
In marriage, we falter when we build our marriages away from the foundational principles of God's Word. Every failing marriage is so because in some area, the two are not following God's script. You know, even when you look at Adam and Eve, they were fine until they started moving away from God's order. What do you mean by that, Pat? Okay, Adam became passive when God told him to be aggressive. Eve got aggressive when God told her to be passive. Yeah, somebody didn't like that. And I'm going to tell you something now. Whenever you see that in a marriage, you know you're on the wrong track. When the man is more womanish than the woman and the woman is more managed than the man, you know you got a mess right there. When you wake up in the morning, she bossing you, telling you what to do and how to jump and how high to jump and all that, you ain't going nowhere with that. Some of you brothers think that you're helping your wife by being a little monkey man. You ain't helping a woman by being no monkey man. You help a woman when you have a vision and you have a backbone and you stand by your, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Some of these wives looked at me real rough right there. You know, they were moving away from God's order. Now, let me jump right in. Number one, foundations of a healthy, strong marriage. Number one, if a marriage is going to work, if a relationship that would be a marriage is going to work, the two must be evenly matched. Everybody say, the two must be evenly matched. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, let's stop right there. He says, be not what? Now, the sad thing is that, watch this, listen to me. The sad thing is this. When we read that text, most of us think that all he's talking about is go to church together. Don't marry somebody that don't go to church. You go to church? Yeah, I go to church. I go to church too. Okay, we can do it then. No consideration for, does this person have a conversation that captivates you? No consideration for where this person wants to go in life. And you just bounce on down the aisle because, you know, y'all looked at one another and you liked what you saw. And he say he go to church, you say you go to church, and then somebody gave you a prophet lie and told you that's your soulmate. Mm-hmm. There are four areas of necessary commonality, I call them, when we start talking about this being equally yoked thing. Number one, you got to have mutual attraction. You got to like at least halfway what the person look like. There got to be some kind of romantic appeal. Number two, you got to have common goals, meaning you got to have the same vision. Some of y'all been going together for 6 months now, and you still don't know what that man's vision is. Number three, you got to have similar spiritual basis for living. You can't be talking about Jesus and he talking about Muhammad. Or you talking about Jesus, he's talking about I'm an atheist. What are the children going to be? Confused. You got to have intellectual harmony. Because let me tell you something. All that hot stuff y'all got going on when you're in your 20s, that don't last. It's going to start simmering all around your 40s. In your 50s, you're going to have to send out a private eye to go find it. My point is this. At the end of the day, a strong marriage has to be based on more than sex. You got to be able to have a conversation with this person. And just because they can make love to your body don't mean they can make love to your mind. And when y'all can't do nothing else but talk, are you still as intrigued? It's bad to lay down with somebody that don't have a conversation. Oh, I can see this is not going over very well. Praise the Lord. Then you have to have shared levels of sacrifice. Got to be equal giving. You can't be the only one giving. Some of y'all want a relationship, want a man so bad, You just giving everything. You giving everything. He's giving absolutely nothing. You giving everything. Or some of y'all want that woman so bad, you just giving everything. She's giving nothing. All she's doing is taking, 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 taking. And she's giving nothing. If a marriage is going to work, there has to be equal sacrifice. There has to be give and take. If you're with a selfish person that does not know how to give, don't marry them. Now, watch this. This is important. The Holy Spirit gave me this. Y'all with me this morning? He says, if the two are not on the same page, they can get on the same page. In many cases, synergy can be developed. Because what happens is in the church, you know, we say, okay, well, I got married and I'm not equally yoked. And then we want to go and dump the people. Without any effort, because really what is going on is that you can put your eyes on somebody else already. So you want a new deal now, praise the Lord. So you just say, well, we weren't equally yoked in the beginning. Jesus ain't had nothing to do with it. The devil is a lie, hallelujah. You ain't backing out this situation like that. No, you know, y'all may not be on the same page even now. Your marriage may be, you know, out of balance, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, y'all can get on the same page. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:14. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were the children unclean, but now are they holy. What is he saying? If he's saying that an unbelieving husband can be sanctified by the wife, and likewise the wife by the husband, if God can make a spiritual change, he can also make changes in those other areas where y'all may not be gelling. So touch your neighbor, tell him, it's not hopeless, you can save it. But now the only way to increase synergy is through selfless concern for each other. He must forget his interests and work to be all that she needs. And she must forget her interests or her agenda and strive to be everything her husband needs. Now, you know, that's why most marriages fail. Because you have two immature people who have not learned how to be selfless. Some of y'all sitting up and in now mad with your spouse. Y'all sitting next to one another. You dress nice. Y'all haven't even smiled at one another. Because you're mad up in here today. And the reason you're mad, if you really stop and think about it, you are selfish. You are not able to look beyond your own needs or desires. And as a consequence, you've invited chaos into your family. Communication is the only way to maintain equal yoking as you go. You know, if your spouse, for instance, okay, let's say your spouse is not appealing, and it's not obvious, it's not it's not the DNA, because you, when you married them, you like what you got, but maybe they've let themselves go. And so now you just kind of, you're not attracted in that way. But the problem is that you've told everybody at the barbershop, you told your brothers and your family and all your friends, but you ain't told your wife. You have issues with your husband. You told all your girlfriend, but you ain't said nothing to your husband. The only way to stay on the same page is to communicate. If your spouse is not giving you enough, if they're not talking to you enough, if you don't feel like they're intriguing in terms of conversation, and you find that on the job with Mr. So-and-so on the job, and every day you're trying to go to lunch with Mr. So-and-so because you love his conversation. And when you get home, your husband, all he's doing is watching television, watching Sports Center, and drinking beers. And you sitting there getting more and more irritated with him, but you haven't told him. How can I fix what you don't share? I'm preaching up in this church here today. How am I supposed to rectify something pertaining to you that you've not shared with me? If you think I'm fat and I need to lose some weight, let's go walking together. Is this helping anybody? Yes. So number one, the two must be what? Evenly matched. Everybody say evenly matched. Now watch this. Don't let somebody else match up with your spouse better than you do. Boy, y'all ain't said nothing on that. Don't let somebody else match up with your spouse better than you do. That's one thing about my wife, boy, I be watching my wife. She don't know I be watching her. But if somebody fix something, like, you know, one of y'all fix me something, boy, and I go home and I go to eat it, Man, this food here, Lord have mercy. Good God Almighty. So-and-so put a foot in this thing here. Yeah, that's nice, babe. Yeah. Next thing I know, she gonna be on the phone. Yeah, so-and-so, could you give me that recipe that you fixed for my husband? Could you get that to me, honey? Well, you know, it's family. Well, I'm family, baby. I'm family. Give me that recipe, baby. Next thing I know, 2 or 3 weeks later, that she in the kitchen and she got it working, you know? Some of y'all losing your man because you ain't. You just going to give your man away. Hallelujah. You're just going to give him away. Everybody said we got to be evenly matched. Now for you single people, you got to ask yourself, this person you date now, are y'all really evenly matched? Are y'all intellectually on the same page? Are you spiritually on the same page? Are you really even attracted to this man? Or are you just talking about your biological clock is ticking and you trying to just settle for the first thing you can get? All right, number two, just think about it. The two must understand that they are partners. Yeah. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, being what together? Heirs. Being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Being heirs together. And that term heirs means one that shares a lot, one who participates in the same lot, a joint heir, meaning we are in this thing together. We're co-beneficiaries. A couple must understand that they have a common interest. If one fails, both fails. You are partners, watch this, not opponents. Now, the sad thing is that most of y'all living like your opponents. You living like y'all got something to prove. The bottom line is y'all on the same boat. If the boat goes down, both of y'all going down. That's why I don't understand some of you brothers that have a trip. You know, you go to tripping out relative to your manhood when your woman come home and tell you about she got a job making more money than you. At least she can go and make more money than me any day of the week, praise the Lord. I'm going to be praising God every time she come home with that check. You know, I'm going to say, ooh, we doing good, huh? Praise the Lord. Does that mean I got to pick some children up from school or wash a few dishes or boil some hot dogs? I can do all that. Baby, go on, do your thing. Do you. This is us up in this joint here. Hey, my opponent, that's my partner. Even Michael Jordan, when he won those championships. Most of those championships, there was pivotal games where he acted like he was going to be the deciding factor. He kicked the ball out to Scottie or to Paxson or to BJ. He didn't care who got the last shot as long as they won. Because they're what? Team. You know, families we don't have that no more in marriages. We got husbands that feel like they're competing against their wives. And we got wives that feel like they're competing against their husbands. Watch this. Here's some rules for partnership. Number one, when you have a partner, you got to do these things. Number one, respect your partner's role and investment. Respect your partner's role and investment. When Lisa and I first got married, I had already had two kids. I didn't really know. I was very young when I had Venetra, of course, I was a teenager. Then Angel comes along. I was just 20 years old, so I was running. When by the time Rachel got here, you know, I was in my 30s. And so, you know, I'd settled down a little bit, and I was really a family man. And so one day, man, Lisa left me in the house with Rachel. And I had always said, you know, you ain't got nothing to do but sit around here with the child. All you're doing is babysitting. How hard can that be? Man, that woman left me up in that house with that child. That child got to hollering, and I'm just a rocking. I'm just singing songs. I'm giving bottles. She wouldn't stop hollering. She just hollering, jacking her head from the bottle, throwing her arm like she's trying to fight. Then she just started pooping in the diaper. And I said, oh, my God, I'm trying to do this. And then while I'm doing that, she's doing some more, and she got, I'm saying, Jesus, what is going on here? I'm trying to do some work, and this child just won't stop hollering. She act like she's going to sleep for a second, and she wake up. She started hollering again, and I'm saying, I'm giving her the bottle. She go, oh, my God. By the time that woman got home, I had a brand new respect for her role and for her investment. You gotta respect one another's roles, because it takes everything she's doing and it takes everything you're doing to make this family work. While he's saying all you're doing is staying home, he doesn't realize that you're paying his bills, you're keeping his house clean, you're taking care of his children, you're doing homework, you're washing clothes, you're running errands, you're making certain that stuff is in the refrigerator, you're making certain that stuff gets to the cleaners. You know, you making certain that you got some toilet paper in here. I mean, it's a million and one things a woman does in a day. And then while she's saying, all you got to do is work, she don't know what kind of hell you got to go through on that job to make certain that she can stay home to take care of them children, to wash those clothes, keep that house clean, and the da 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 da. So y'all got roles that both of you were uniquely designed to play, but you can't disrespect one another's role. So you got to respect your partner's role and investment. Number two, you got to be honest with your partner about everything. It's bad to have any level of lying in a marriage. You know, when you lie about small stuff in a marriage, you're distrusted about big stuff. When your spouse busts you in a lie about something insignificant, do you think they're going to trust you about serious stuff? If you're going by your mama, just say you're going by your mama. Don't lie and say you're going around the corner to your friend's house, and then he drive around and your car ain't nowhere around there. Because you know he's not assuming that you're not by your friend's house because you're by your mama. He assuming you're out with a man. Because you just told an unnecessary lie. And I was just thinking about this the other day. You know, we brothers in these marriages, you know, we got to really stop lying. Men, you know, come on now. We just lie. We lie too much. We lie unnecessarily. And you ought to know by now that we can't lie faster than the women can think. Those women have dissected that lie before we get halfway through it. It ain't even a complete sentence yet. And she already, oh, that's a lie right there. Sometimes she don't tell you nothing, but she already know you lying. She let you finish your lie and let you think you're going to live your lie out, so then she busts you at the end and tell you, I knew from the beginning you was lying. We lie. And Christian brothers lie. Uh-huh. Number three, you got to communicate every day with your partner. You got to communicate every day. You got to talk. That means you got to talk. Now, again, I got to come back at us, brothers. It is a contradiction for us to say, I'm the head. I'm the head. I'm the head. I'm the head. The Lord said, I'm the head. I'm the head. I'm the head. I'm the head of the wife. I'm the head of the wife. And then you don't want to talk. How you gonna be the leader and don't want to talk? You can't be a silent leader. You can't get stressed out and just go sit in your chair and stare at a television for 8 hours and say absolutely nothing to your wife and then think she's just going to follow you. And then when you're sitting there quiet, you're saying nothing, you're not communicating vision, you're not letting her know where your head is, what's going on, then she take the lead and start improvising, and then you want to say she's rebellious. No, she's improvising because her head has gone silent. There has to be communication every day. Come on, somebody say communication,
communication.
Every day.
Every
now
day.
Let me tell you what communication is. It is talking and listening. Communication is not, and then while they running off of their head, you sitting there, you finished yet? See, you're not listening to nothing they're saying. And then once they're through, then you bust in and you doing your thing. And then they say, you done? Have you done yet? You done yet? Oh my God. Communication is, this is my position. This is how I feel about it. This is why I feel this way. This is what this does to me when you do this. And it's you on the other side, intently listening, trying to understand, put yourself in that person's shoes to feel what they're feeling, and taking it all in, and then being able to respond with compassion and say, I'm sorry that this makes you feel this way, but this is why I do it this way. This is why I said that. I did not say it with this intent. And then they have to listen with an understanding heart. And see, now we're moving forward, we're progressing. Communication moves us from one point of disconnect to a place of closer, a closeness. But when y'all sitting there for 2 hours and you're no closer after 2 hours than you were when you first started, you weren't communicating when you started. So you got to communicate every day with your partner. Number four, you got to let no outsider have a vote on partnership business. Oh, I said it that time. Is this boring, y'all? I can save a whole lot of y'all's marriages right now. This is a mass marriage counseling session right now. Get mama and them out your marriage. You there calling mama, you know mama, I was telling the other day, Thursday night, I think it was. Mama wasn't able to keep your daddy. You know your daddy left mama, then mama had another man after daddy, and he left her too. And now you letting mama tell you about what to do with your husband? Now I know you love mama, but you got to be crazy. Mama ain't never been able to keep no man. You down at the barbershop letting dudes at the barbershop tell you about how to go home and handle your wife? And you going home, you foolish enough to go home and do what these people tell you to do? Bruh, I'll go home and tell her right now, I'm the man and this is the way it's going to be. It's going to be a cold night tonight. Don't nobody tell me how to go home and handle my wife, man. No. We know how to function within our partnership. I know how far to go. She know how far to go. We don't have no outside interference. I thank God for my mother. I thank God for my mother-in-law. They never interfere in our marriage. Amen. My dad never did. My father-in-law never does. Our issues are our issues. If we want to bring them in, we'll call them and let them know we need y'all to talk to us about this or that. But that's about the end of that. Yeah, we don't have all that in-law interference. That's why y'all don't have in-laws. Y'all have outlaws. But they don't know how to mind their business. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you crazy enough to let them up in your business. Whenever you start letting somebody else speak into your marriage, it's not going to end well. All right. In Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Them have dominion. Just putting a cap on that part relative, the two must understand that they're partners. Even from the very beginning, God had them in mind, not him or her. Number three, and finally for today, the two must stick together like glue. Two must be evenly matched. The two must understand that they are partners. And then number three, the two must stick together like glue. Now this goes against the grain for many brothers, because brothers try to find every reason to get away from their wives. Men today don't want to spend much time with their wives, and sadly, now the women are developing the same mindset where y'all want to spend more time with your girlfriends than you do your husband. This is satanic in nature. The devil has used this to create a platform that he can stand on to bring division between you. Because if y'all don't stick together, watch this, let me read this for you. Many couples really spend no quality time together at all. They work to pay for the house, the children, and the cars. They then spend a great deal of their time in church or with their friends. They then give their time, the rest or the part that's left, to sleeping, and then they start the same cycle all over again the next day. No time for one another. Isn't it amazing how y'all can be in the same house and you spend all of your time with the children, all of your time in the kitchen? He spends all of his time with the video game, on the cell phone, on the computer. And then y'all go to sleep at night, say good night, and wake up the next day and start all over again. And you can go for weeks and weeks and weeks and never have quality time. Even lying in the bed while y'all woke, y'all both watching TV shows. There's no dialogue. There's no connecting of the souls. And the only thing y'all have in common, watch this, are children and bills. And maybe church. Children, bills, and church. Let's say y'all got children, bills, and church in common, but y'all really don't have any quality time together. Y'all live together, you sleep together. Occasionally, you might have sex, but you don't really have quality time. So now what happens when the children grow up and go away to college and graduate from college and move on with their own lives and have their own children, and you don't have them anymore? What happens when all of the bills are paid for, the house is paid for, all the cars are paid for, you don't have any financial stress on you? All y'all got is church. So now you wake up one day in the future, and because you all have not spent any quality time together, you have grandchildren with a person that's a stranger. You're living in a house with a person you don't even know. When the children move out, you don't even know how to live with this person. It feels weird, like somebody, a stranger's coming to your house. Because now you have no one else to interact with but him or her, but because you've not done it for 25 years, you don't know how. And see, a lot of y'all are failing for quality time. Y'all taking all of this overtime trying to make more money when you really need to be spending more time with one another. I don't know if they like this one today. Genesis 2:24. Watch this. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Shall what?
Cleave.
What does it say?
Cleave.
You know what that means? It means to stick like glue. A man's supposed to be all up under you. Your girlfriend say, ooh, child, he all up under you. That's where he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be all up under you. See, look how Ben got his wife. Every time you come to church, you're going to have her just like that. He got her wrapped up. He got her wrapped up. He's been like that for the last 30 years I've known him. He's been just like that. Because a man and his wife are supposed to stick together like glue. Some of y'all don't even know the last time y'all had any private time. Where it's just the two of y'all sitting out. It ain't got to be nothing fancy. It could be McDonald's, man, with some ice cream, a sundae, and just y'all having conversation. All right. You may live with a person you actually love and not even know them. You sit next to you. How many of y'all sit next to your spouse? Raise your hand. Okay. Touch your spouse. Ask them, do you know me? See, now the reason I made y'all ask that, because now y'all gonna have to have a conversation about that. Uh-huh. That was smooth, wasn't it? I put that thing there, no, put it in there on y'all. The intimacy of marriage, listen to this, and I'm almost there. The intimacy of marriage is not sex. Intimacy is not sex. It is to intentionally look deeper to discover the hidden person. And it is to expose those parts of ourselves that we would never trust another person with. Many people are married. Now listen to this carefully. Many people are married, but as a defense mechanism, they remain emotionally unavailable because of past hurts and traumas. They have not learned to trust or to be vulnerable. You'll be amazed at how many couples come back in my office, and I have to, through the process of asking questions, get them to reveal things to one another that they never revealed before. And many of them have been married for decades. But they had never learned how to communicate the deeper things of their being. You have to learn to cleave, to cling to. You have to know your spouse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The solution to many marital issues lies in the two getting naked. Let me show you something. Look in Genesis 2, 24 and 25. In fact, I'll go straight to 25, because 24 is where it talks about man cleaving to his wife and the two being one. 25 says this, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So the original couple were naked and not ashamed. That speaks to more than just their physical condition. They were emotionally and spiritually and psychologically naked. I want to ask you a question today relative to your marriage and relative to your spouse. How naked are you? Now watch this. Brothers, we have to create an environment that our wives are comfortable becoming naked before us. Ladies, you have to create an environment where your husband is comfortable exposing all of himself before you. And watch this, not being ashamed. If there's any safe place in your life, it ought to be your marriage. If there's any place a man ought to be able to cry and not have his manhood questioned, it ought to be his wife. So my prayer today is that God would begin to mend marriages, those of you that are single but you're believing God for a mate, that you will remember what I've shared with you today. And those of you who've been divorced, and maybe some of the stuff that we talked about today, maybe it hit home for you, and you say, okay, this is where I missed it. This is where we missed it. My prayer is that God will build a bridge of reconciliation. And that God will do a new thing in your families and in your marriages. Every head bowed. Father, I thank you for your word today. And my prayer, God, is that you will cause this word to penetrate and to transform the hearts and lives of your people. God, I thank you for bringing marriages back together. God, I thank you for strengthening marriages. And God, those who are making decisions for spouses, God, I thank you for giving them this wisdom as a guideline, that they will know exactly what they're getting into, God, that they will function wisely. I bind the spirit of the enemy that comes to destroy and to separate. God, I thank you for the anointing of reconciliation. Thank you for the anointing of reconciliation. In the mighty name of Jesus, I give you praise and honor for it. Let everyone say amen.
Thank you for listening to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, emanating from New Home Family Worship Center of New Orleans and Houston. You can write us or send a prayer request to R.C. Blakes Jr. Ministries, P.O. Box 571083. Houston, Texas, 77257. Be sure to mention that you heard us on the podcast. You may also call us at 713-991-1302. If you live in the Houston or New Orleans areas, or if you're just visiting, we invite you to come join us at one of our powerful, family-oriented services where we are building a future for you. Our Houston location is 4805 Schermeyer Street in Houston, Texas. In New Orleans, we're at 13800 Hayne Boulevard in East New Orleans, Louisiana. For service times, directions, or more information about our ministry, call 713-991-1302. In the New Orleans area, call 504-244-6968. Our email is rc@comehometonewhome.org. And be sure to visit our website at www.comehometonewhome.org. Remember, you're on top and you're going higher. God has more in store for you.